Well, good morning once again, everybody. Today's sermon text is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin my reading in chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. You see, in the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul prays for them to stay confident in God, to continue to grow spiritually and walk in a worthy manner, to be bold for Christ. You see, the Philippians considered Paul's imprisonment a major setback to the further the cause of the gospel, sharing the gospel for further the cause of Christ. Well, that wasn't the case for Paul. Paul rose above his circumstances. Even though things were difficult in prison, he was content. His attitude was that he can do all things through Christ, because Christ alone strengthens him. Despite Paul's circumstances, his focus was on Christ. Pleasing God served as his main goal. Paul's zeal for Christ helped him to lead Romans that guarded him to Christ. So, Paul's example is, despite your circumstances, you can still press on. Christian, believer, be confident that what he has begun in us through his redeeming, saving power, he will complete. So don't give up on yourselves. And please don't give up on your faith in Christ. So the question is, brothers and sisters, how are you despite your circumstances? Some days are good and some days are bad. Does your faith in God remain the same? Is your zeal for God the same? Is your boldness for God the same? In January is a time for New Year's resolutions, and people always make them to try to improve themselves in any area or so. I have to ask you, did you set any godly goals for yourselves, brothers and sisters? Goals that serve God by better equipping yourselves for God. Goals like developing an intimate relationship with God through daily prayer. You see, some people only reach out to God only when things are bad or when someone is sick or ill. How about reaching out to God in thankfulness and praise in good days and bad? Because it would be a sad thing one day on Judgment Day or His second coming, and He looks at you and says, "I never knew you." So develop a personal relationship with God through daily prayer. Make that a goal to strive for. Or how about the goal of reading the whole Bible instead of picking through it? Or attending more Bible studies? or even joining a fellow brother and sister or sister evangelizing on the streets for Christ. You see, there is always something we can do to better equip ourselves to further the cause of Christ. Because God created us in His image, and God is a worker. Matter of fact, the greatest worker, the greatest craftsman of all time. And I'm sure His will for our lives isn't to be spiritually lazy, but to be active and walk with a purpose, to press on, rise above your circumstances, just like the Apostle Paul did. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 10-11, it reads, "And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it." See, most people give up on their goals and thus give up on themselves because they don't see these things come to fruition fast enough. They fall back into their old habits or their old lifestyles. Things don't go as planned. Obstacles, known as stumbling blocks or walls or even chains for Paul, get in our paths. But no matter what, brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on the Lord, just as the Apostle Paul did. So today I'm going to pull out three applications from the sermon text to help you stay driven in your goals, but more importantly, stay driven for God. One, being confident. Two, begin a good work. And three, complete it. First, being confident. Psalm 118:8 reads, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." Why, you may ask? Because we are weak. When things don't roll our way, we lose confidence in ourselves or our situation. We get weary, we get frustrated, and we just want to give up. That's when we need to turn our emotions over to God. Place your confidence and trust in Him. God has a reason for your circumstance, unless you created it yourself. Or the people that you cross paths with, learn not to lean on your own understanding, but lean on Him. See, I know people whose situation may seem uncertain, not at any fault of their own, but they're at peace because of their confidence in the will of God for their lives. And that is very inspiring to see, that kind of confidence that people have. That's the kind of confidence you want to try to strive for. Just give it all to God. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, the Christian life isn't about trying, but relying on God. Relying on God to give us the discernment to help us through certain situations in life. You see, some things may seem bad at first, but may turn out to be a blessing later. For example, this man at work, he just started a new job in the company, and he got hurt on the first day. Someone ran into him with a machine. But because of that, they placed him on light duty and placed him in a better position that he now really enjoys. So what started out bad became a blessing for him later. Well, same thing with the Apostle Paul. See, while in prison, he did bring Roman soldiers to Christ, but he also wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. And we know how beneficial they are in aiding believers in our walk with Christ. So we can have confidence in all things no matter how bad things seem. Paul writes in Philippians 1:12-14, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." See, the more confident you are in God, you're going to rely a lot more on His will for your lives. See, a lot of times we set goals for ourselves, but they're just not part of God's plan. Like maybe saving up for that big boat. You know, maybe God has other plans for that money you're using or saving. And if you want to know the will of God, just open the book. Open the book and read it. Proverbs 23:26 reads, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Believer, you are His. You were bought with a price through the work of Jesus on the cross. Have confidence that in whatever way He wants to use you is for His glory. He's sharpening you, the tool, to do His work for Him. And just a little side note, because we were bought with a price, our bodies are His. They're not ours. Think of it like renting an apartment. You must follow the rules and treat it with care because it's not yours. So when you set goals for your body or think about doing something with your body that doesn't honor or glorify God, remember, it's God's temple. Use it to carry out His cause and not your own. Second, a good work. The good work started off with what Jesus did for us through faith in His Son, Jesus. A believer is saved and redeemed. We have been made alive because we were dead in our sins. Believers are like a new creation. So you may not feel like a believer, but if you truly came to Christ, you are. The sanctification process is a lifelong process. In time, your love for Christ will overcome more and more worldly things. You're going to begin to love the things that Christ loves and hate the things or despise the things that He despised. For some people, it happens like this. Some people, it can be slow. But either way, the sanctification is lifelong. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So as workers for Christ, let us go into this world and begin to be fruitful in works. Yes, we are not saved by works, but faith alone. But the works do showcase our love for God. Faith without works is dead. People know what to do, but they fail to take the first step in the doing. We don't want to be like the fig tree that doesn't bear figs. That's why I love this quote, this scripture verse, James 4:17. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Psalm 81:11-12 read, "But my people would not heed my voice. And Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. You see, God's will for you might be to do things that are out of your comfort zone. You're not used to it. Such as maybe evangelizing the strangers. But what God wants to do is He wants to stretch us. Stretch us to become more like His Son. And as you know, that's a stretch that none of us can attain. But we can do better if we just push ourselves. If we stretch ourselves to become more like Him. But the problem is, many people resist. They resist. Transformation can be difficult in anything if one clings to the things that are not of God. Things to the things that are just not new to them. Jesus used the wineskins parable to help clarify this point. In Mark chapter 2, verse 22 reads, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." You see, back in the day, tightly sewn skins were used to hold the wine. And what happens when the wineskins get old, they become hard and lose elasticity. Kind of like us. When we get set in our ways, we don't want to change. Well, oftentimes when the new wine is poured into the old wineskins, they burst and the wine is lost. You see, during the fermentation process, the new wine gives off gases that require some stretch in the wineskins. So the idea behind the parable is that believers can't be much of a new creation if we try to shape Jesus to fit our lifestyle when we need to shape our lifestyle to fit Jesus. Yes. Amen. So believers, don't resist His will for your lives. Let God continue to do a good work in you. Let Him stretch you to spiritually grow and mature. You just never know where He wants to take you. So don't fight Him. Don't resist Him. Let Him stretch you. And third, complete it. The very essence of the sermon text is basically stating that God is not finished with us yet. He's not done. We can be sure that He doesn't leave anything unfinished. What He has begun in us, He will complete. See, we need to have patience. We need to wait on God's timing. James 1:4 reads, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Lacking nothing. You ever try eating a banana when it's not ripe? They're hard to peel. They taste nasty. They're just not ready. Well, maybe God is working something in you that is just not ready. The timing is just not right yet. Maybe some of your short-term goals need to become long-term goals. So if things don't come to fruition fast enough, don't lose patience on God. For He is a God of many chances, and He doesn't lose patience on you. So don't give up, brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Develop an attitude to keep improving in your walk with Christ. Yes, you may not be where you want to be, but at least you're not where you were. At least you're not where you started. At least you're not part of the walking dead. You know? So press on, my friends. In conclusion, Paul states in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Please bow your heads and pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done in us, starting with your Son, our foundation, our Savior, Jesus. Thank you so much for providing a propitiation for all our sins, our iniquities. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the work that you have done in us through faith in your Son, your redeeming, saving power. Thank you for the work that you continue to do in us, Father. Thank you for using us to be the tools for your work. Father, help us. Give us the confidence in ourselves to go out and carry your work for you, to do your will, Father, to glorify you, Father. Give us that confidence in ourselves, Father. Help us. Guide us. Help us be fruitful in works. Help us plant many seeds. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for your love, your mercy on us, your patience. And thank you for sending your Son, the example of our lives, so that we can strive to be more like Him. Father, help us make this the best year of our lives, Father. Pressing on, despite any circumstance, despite any situation. Press on and live for Christ. Be better vessels, light bearers, workers for you. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll grant each other, offer each other a sign of peace. Please.